Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew in the Jayhawk Talk Studios. Looking good, Andrew. You got a KU sweatshirt on, got your KU hat. You're ready for some KU basketball.
I didn't do that on purpose. It's just most of my casual gear is KU stuff. You do as well. I'm looking at your stuff. It's just what I have.
Yeah.
But it is appropriate because we are here today to talk about KU basketball. And I'm just going to say, anyone out there, if you had any worries about Devontae Graham,
yikes.
I think we can confidently say worry no longer. Big week. One of the biggest week for any KU players ever in two games to put together Devontae Graham, totaling 70 points.
Yeah, that was nuts, man. We said he was going to come. Like, he was obviously going to come. And I put on Twitter before last game, he's going to go bonkers on offense one of these games. And then he went bonkers on offense in two straight games. I mean, bonkers isn't even the right word. I mean, he was unconscious, man. And the crazy part is it wasn't inefficient either. Like, he's not like he's doing it with 25 shots. He shot, what do you have, about 17 shots for 35 points this last game? I mean, geez, we'll take that every time. I don't think that's going to be the norm. Like, I don't think he's going to be doing this every game. He's going to be launching 17 shots, but I sure hope he launches 12, like, you know, at least.
Right. And, you know, if you look at his stats, it looks like he went 24 for 36 from the field the whole week. But that's for 70 points. That will never happen to any player in college basketball again this year. Like, that's just too much. I mean, that's impossible. And for Devontae to have that happen, you know, we just want a part of that. We just want a piece of that to have him keep going. And then if everybody else kind of develops around him, we're going to be a pretty scary team. But enough about Devontae. We're going to talk about plenty of Devontae. Kevin, let's talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to do a little tiny recap of Toledo and Syracuse. We're going to discuss the Big 12 and how they've kind of done, do some news and notes. And then we've got an interview with Jason King and CJ Moore. They are the authors of the book Beyond the Streak. And this is a book that any KU fan should read. It was a fun interview where they kind of talk about everything from the Kevin Durant game back in 2007 to the Missouri game in 2012 to just general stuff that happened during the streak, important plays, important times, important Henry T's meetings, things like that. So we'll get to that interview here in a little bit. But first, Kevin, let's talk about this week.
It was a good week.
It was a great week. I mean, we had a blowout game against Toledo. We had the Syracuse game, won by 16. It could have been more.
Covered the spread.
We covered the spread, and we struggled against that zone. I mean, we still scored a lot of points, 76 points against that zone. But did you feel that we, you know, hadn't quite figured that out, that zone defense?
Well, of course, it's so different when you look at the reason why all of a sudden it started working. What did we start out 1 for 7 or 8 from three? And then all of a sudden three-pointers start falling. And we look a lot better against a zone when three-pointers start falling. But no, I think the key was they started figuring out those soft spots that, man, we were really stretching them with alley-oops, which was a lot of fun. I mean, the oop game was flying from everywhere. Heck, Sfi got an alley-oop. Mitch got an alley-oop. It wasn't just Doak. LeGerald had one monster one. And so that was fun. They obviously also got LeGerald going at that kind of middle of the zone, of the point forward kind of spot. And in that 2-3, man, the key is getting it right in the middle. And who's open? That guy. And then Devontae at the top of the key. Like, Devontae just kept taking top of the three or top of the key three-pointers because it was always there. And that's a pretty high percentage shot, as it turns out. So I didn't read a whole lot into it. I think early on we were struggling a little bit with their length, struggling a little bit with the zone, but obviously got it figured out and got it cooking.
Let's go through some of these players and their weekly averages. LeGerald had 13.5 points and 6.5 rebounds. Pretty good week for LeGerald. Struggled in the Toledo game, but the Toledo game was such a blowout that it really didn't matter. We've talked about Devontae. Weekly totals of 70 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists, 12 from for 21 from three-pointer. I'm tired of Trae Young getting Big 12 Player of the Week. He just has... He's the only guy who scores for that team, has monster statistics. He's going to win Big 12 Player of the Year, blah, blah, blah. But let's give it to Devontae this week. 70-point total. He'll deserve it. So we'll see on Monday, tomorrow, if that comes out. But you got to give it to Devontae for this week. He's now the number three player in KenPom after, you know, really struggling the first four or five games. I mean, struggling.
He was not struggling. Like,
relatively struggling.
He wasn't struggling. He was struggling from the shot. Like, he was still playing well. It's just the ball wasn't going in.
But for him to now jump up to the number three player in KenPom and all college basketball is quite ridiculous. Let's finish these out. Sfi had 13.4. His average came back to earth a little bit. Malik did not have a great game against Syracuse. Let's talk about Malik for a second. 2 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Filled up the stat sheet on the other end, but the points weren't coming for him. Are you worried about Malik?
No, I'm still not. I'm still not at all. I think that this game wasn't the best one for him. He's going to be able to take his guy off the dribble. I mean, against the zone, he's a little more boxed in. But he's not like one of those guys who's running around trying to find soft spots or anything like that. He's the guy with the ball in his hand. He's going to take you. So no, I'm not worried about that. I'd like to see the ball go in the hole a little bit more. He had 17 against Toledo though. So I mean, come on, like he had one bad game. I'm not worried about it.
And Doak, 12 points against Toledo, 6 points against Syracuse. They were all dunks.
Gosh, 3 for 3. Foul trouble, man.
Yep. It was. Well, we'll get to it. But Clay Young was the 5 for KU versus Syracuse for most of the first half.
We need Statboy to give us some advanced stats on Clay Young. I'm sure the plus minus was really good in this game because we went on a run when he was in the game. Now, the question is, Andrew, was it Clay Young or was it Devontae making like 6 straight threes? I mean, it's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question.
Plus minus doesn't care about that.
They don't care.
If he's on the floor, and you outscore the other team, that is a plus.
It is Clay Young
was on the floor for a monster tear by KU.
It was all Clay. I mean, hey, numbers don't lie. It's
yeah. Stats. You are what the stats say you are.
So anyway, there you go. MVP.
And just to close out, Marcus Garrett didn't have a great week offensively, but put some stats up. And then Mitch Lightfoot came back to earth a little bit, non-factor on offense really this week. But I think Mitch played well defensively.
He did play well. I thought he was pretty good in the Syracuse game when he was in there. He just got to stay out of foul trouble. He had a little stretch where he had a he took the charge. He set a monster screen on the alley oop, and then. I can't remember what else he did, but in like a textbook block out, like he was looking good. He's bringing the little things. I'm starting to wonder if the hashtag sorry Mitch is going to stick around or not.
I love Mitch. Love Mitch.
All right. There you go.
Mitch got himself a dunk. Mitch got himself a man.
He
dunk.
Did get himself a dunk. I'm proud of him.
All right. One thing before we move on, are you worried about our free throw rate? We're not getting to the line pretty much at all. We're currently ranked 346 out of 351 in our free throws attempted per field goals attempted. So basically, like the amount of attempts you have, you know, taking regular shots. How often do you get fouled? We don't get fouled.
Well, we're not getting in the lane quite like we were last year, obviously. I mean, we had Josh Jackson and Frank getting in the paint and forcing the issue, forcing help. But, you know, we're also shooting a lot of three-pointers, a whole lot of three-pointers. And you're not going to get fouled as much when you're shooting 50% of your shots at three. And you're definitely not going to get fouled a lot when Udoka Azubuike is not on the court and he has not been on the court enough because he keeps getting in foul trouble. So when he's on the court, I think our free throw numbers are going to go up because Hackadoke or Pokadoke, I think someone came up with.
I like Poke. That's right. I like that one. That's the best
Pokadoke.
One. Pokadoke.
Pokadoke or Hakabuki. Okay, there was another one. I can't remember. Someone was talking about it. But Pokadoke is not a thing if you sit on the bench. So anyway, no, I think they will improve a little bit, but no, I agree. This team is not going to get to the free throw line near as much as maybe previous Bill Self teams.
Kevin, let's talk about the Big 12. You know, every year you get to be in these non-conference tournaments. We played in the Hoop Hall Invitational, which was kind of a fake tournament. Usually we play in like the Tip Hall of Fame Classic or the Maui Gym Maui Invitational or things like this. We played more of a fake one this year. We just got to play Syracuse and Miami. But in these non-conference tournaments, the Big 12 had a pretty good showing. We had, out of the 10 teams, six of the teams won their non-conference tournaments. Iowa State won the Puerto Rico tip-off held in Myrtle Beach. TCU won the Emerald Coast Classic. West Virginia won the Advocate Invitational. Texas Tech won the Hall of Fame tip-off. Baylor won the Hall of Fame Classic. And we won the Hoop Hall Miami Invitational. And the other teams had good showings as well, with K-State finishing third. Texas and Oklahoma were in that PK-80 Nike tournament, finished fourth and fifth, and then Oklahoma State was third in the Legends Classic. I think that Big 12 is pretty good, Kevin, from top to bottom.
I think you're right. I think top to bottom is right. Overall, it wasn't a great week in the Big 12. We had a lot of our I guess, quote, better teams lose to tough games. I mean, Texas lost to Gonzaga, who's obviously a good team. We had, I guess, West Virginia did beat Missouri, so that's good. That was needed. But there was another one. It was, Baylor lost twice, I think. They lost to Xavier on the road, and then they lost to
Wichita State yesterday,
exactly. So a couple of games that, you know, wish you would have maybe seen go the other way. But overall, I agree. Oh, and then Texas Tech lost pretty rough to Seton Hall on the road. I mean, that was a tough game, but
right.
lost by 10 to there. So there were some losses in the Big 12 this week for against good teams. I mean, no one got beat by a bad team. So that's good, I guess. But I think it's a pretty good league.
Okay, Kevin, we've got some news and notes we're going to get to before we get to our interview with Jason and CJ. Number one is Silvio D'Souza. Bill Self said after the Toledo game that he'll probably be available for Texas when the Big 12 starts on December 29th. He's on pace to graduate, but his final is after the Nebraska game, but it's unlikely that all the paperwork is going to get done for the Stanford game. So we've got some big guy reinforcements. Assuming he comes and plays on the 29th, Kevin, do you think he'll get any minutes? I mean, how hard is it to jump right into play?
Like, I don't think so. I mean, the good news is if he's on campus during like the Christmas break when they can practice a bunch, like that's the best time for him to show up, right? Because then he can really kind of dive in. I'm sure he'll be getting some extra time with the coaches and stuff, you know, on the side, trying to get him up to speed. We need somebody, obviously. I mean, Clay Young is great. Don't get me wrong, MVP, but we need another body. We need another guy who can give five fouls and not hurt you. So did I read somewhere he also still has to pass another test, or did that already happen? Maybe I missed that.
I think he has a final, okay. But you know, it's kind of like when you're graduating high school and you have to take your last final, like who cares?
Fair enough.
Are you really worried? Are you really worried about that? That's how I think about it. But according to Self, on scheduled to be,
that'd be great.
Played his first game on the 29th. Speaking of reinforcements, a football player might join the team. Kevin, have you seen this?
I did. Yeah. What is his name? James Sosinski.
James Sosinski. He was a tight end. I don't think he played at all for the football team, but he's 6'7", 260-pound tight end. Bill said last week they're going to give him a week to see how he does, so he's not like officially on the team. He's just a practice player. But he played at community college for South Mountain Community College in Chandler, Arizona, where he averaged 19 and 12, 19 points, 12 rebounds. So that could be good.
That's something.
How is it? So your main sport is football. You get recruited to play football at KU for a bad football team. You play 0 minutes this year for this bad football team, but you might get some minutes for the number two team in the country in basketball, your secondary sport. How weird is that?
It is a little weird. South
just
Mountain.
How it worked out, but
South Mountain is they're the Cougars. Looking them up now.
Okay.
Oh, they just took down number 22 Arizona Western. So look at that.
The powerhouse of Arizona.
I don't know anything about this. I can't figure it out in my 10 seconds of looking. But the one thing I do know is that I think your clout on campus goes up by a factor of about, I don't know, 2,000. If you are a non-starter or non-player on the football team to a non-starter or player on the basketball team. Yep. So whatever this guy ends up doing, like, he needs to take that into account before making any decisions. Like, don't worry about the time commitment or, you know, worrying about what it's going to do with your time with David Beatty or the football team. Like, don't consider any of that. Consider this. You will have no weight getting into the line in the Hawk, like, ever again. You'll have no weight getting in anywhere. And if you're walking around with the basketball players versus walking around with the football players, like, I mean, come on, man. Like, think this through before making any decisions, and don't consider football at all in the equation. Like, that's all.
Well, and usually it's the reverse, where you take, like, these guys like Rico Gathers or Tony Gonzalez,
right,
or Jimmy Graham, and turn them into tight ends.
You're never going to play in the league, because the only people that play in the league are basketball players. So maybe the key. Come play basketball,
and then you'll be an NFL player.
And then you'll play in it. Yep. So there it is. I think that's how that works.
This is easy. I think we figured out how to make the football team better.
You're welcome, James.
Make them be basketball players.
And recruit NFL tight ends. So,
there you go.
Appreciate that.
A couple other news and notes. Herm Edwards is expected to be hired at Arizona State. 3 years ago, when we did our who should be hired at KU, we mentioned Herm Edwards
on this podcast.
As a kind of joke. Now Herm Edwards is getting a big time college football job. Probably would have taken KU. Let's just be honest. Years ago, because he, Kansas City guy. I think he still had a house here at that point. We should have hired him.
Yeah. Listen, nothing can be worse. Like, I'm convinced of that. Like, anything you like, if we hired you as football coach, I don't think it would be worse. So I'm ready. I'm ready for a big name. I'm ready for a splash hire and not Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss again.
Charlie Weiss. Bring Charlie back. Dude, that's a fiery hot take. We should bring Charlie Weiss back. Sit on that take.
Yeah.
Weiss back. All right. Would it be worse to bring Charlie Weiss back now or better from the first hire? Knowing everything you know about Charlie Weiss the first time around.
I mean, at least she'll get publicity. And if you're of the Trump mindset of any publicity is good publicity. It could help.
I feel like maybe Charlie Weiss is a big Trump guy.
Oh, dude, I'm sure he's rocking all the bumper stickers.
Oh man! All right, let's move. No football talk. The only football talk we can have is in the context of basketball players.
Right, and Herm Edwards.
And Herm Edwards. Okay.
We also scheduled a home and home with Villanova for next year. After,
I like this.
I love that. How aggressive is that?
That's great.
I mean. Coach K never leaves Cameron Indoor, let alone goes to Villanova.
Yeah, that's great.
How aggressive is that? That's going to be crazy. So we play Villanova at home next year and then at Villanova next year, the year after. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Either way. Who else would you like to see a home and home with? Just quick.
Off the top of your head. Yeah, Wichita State.
Wichita State?
Yeah, I'd love to. Why not?
Home and home?
Yeah, people who are like, oh, we're too cool to go down to Wichita, like, whatever. Like, that would be awesome for Kansas. I'm not going to listen to that take. Like, the Missouri thing, like, whatever. I will buy that because we should not help them in any way. But whatever. Like, let's go play Wichita State. I have no problem with that at all. There are some people that are going to vehemently disagree with that take, but I don't care. I think it'd be cool. We should have a home and home with Washburn while we're at it.
Home and home?
Home and home. Lee Arena. Lee Arena, top city. I'd love to go see that game.
All right. Last one. What about North Carolina?
Oh, that'd be great. Bring Roy back?
Roy would never come back, though.
Oh, he might.
He would never want to be in Allen Fieldhouse and have them root against him.
He also doesn't give a shit about North Carolina, but he obviously does. Like, he says some stuff.
Anyway, well, this Villanova home and home will be very exciting. Any other news to add into the Billy Preston rumor central?
I don't think so. There's some seemingly some. Okay, so according to Twitter, Twitter sources are reporting.
Sources
are reporting on Twitter. My source, which I read on Twitter, my Twitter timeline, says, Andrew, that there is a chance that he might be available for the Big 12 slate for conference play. There's a chance. That is the report. There's also some reporting about some nonsense about his mom was in town and like that he wasn't practicing with the team. And some people are like reading way too much into it that, oh God, he's been kicked off the team or he can't practice anymore. Like, no, I don't think that's true. Here's the thing. Like we already,
his mom was in town. He did not make the trip to Miami
because his mom was in town. Like that was the take. And then some people were like, well, why would she schedule a trip now? Why wouldn't she do blah, blah, blah? Like, anyway, whatever. So I'm not reading anything into it. I assume that all is well and that he is trying to continue to get his clearance to play. Free Billy. Free Billy.
Love it. Okay. Well, we're going to move on to our conversation with Jason King and CJ Moore, authors of the book Beyond the Streak. They'll tell you this in the interview, but I think it's available at all Barnes and Nobles in Kansas City, rally houses. You can get it on Amazon, and you can get it at kubook.net, the website. So I think you'll want to hear it. If you listen to this podcast, you'll definitely want to read this book because it's got some good stuff. It's got stuff about Joe Dooley. Mm. It's got stuff about the Morris twins. It's got stuff about Kevin Durant's game. And the things that we talk about all the time on this podcast are gone into depth in this book. So let's get to that interview, Kevin. Here is Jason King and CJ Moore.
All right, we are back and we are joined by Jason King and CJ Moore. These fellas wrote a book. And it is Beyond the Streak. It is in stores now. It is the perfect holiday gift for your favorite Jayhawk fan. Welcome to the show, fellas.
Hey, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
So, okay, let's talk about the book for a little bit. What was the background of the book? Or was this just one of those things where you sit around and like, I want to write another KU book. What should I write about? And then this issue is pretty easy to maybe pick.
Yeah, that was kind of the situation. I kind of itched to write another book. Beyond the Fog came out in 2011. And I have been thinking for a few years that this topic, you know, would warrant a book. And I've been crossing my fingers that KU would at least tie the streak, which would give us an opportunity to go ahead and do it. And once they did, I was thinking, man, like, should we wait till number 14? You know, just to wait till they break it. But I thought, what if something crazy happened and they didn't? Then the book wouldn't do as well because, you know, then you'd be going back about a year. And so we decided to go ahead and do it once it was tied and thought if they break it, we can just do an updated edition. So spent the summer, you know, from about July to the end of October, you know, interviewing people and even worse, transcribing tape, which is any journalist will tell you is probably the worst thing about being a journalist, especially when you interview 107 people.
There's technology for that, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And I looked at it and even tried it with an interview, but it just didn't work as well. I mean, there were things that just didn't come across as well when technology, you know, transcribed it for me. And little pauses and little, you know, when people would correct sentences and just kind of transcribing that tape kind of took me back into the moment and I just thought it worked better that way. So, but it was a huge pain. And I think that was probably the hardest part of the book, that and chasing down Frank Mason.
All right. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, CJ is the one that interviewed him, and I wanted him to do that interview because, you know, he had covered Frank a little more heavily than I had the past few years, but you know, a lot of times when guys, you know, right after they graduate, you know, their heads are kind of big and you know, he's a national player of the year and had his agent, you know, asking if we'll pay him, you know, for the interview or whatever. And it's just kind of like, come on, you know, like, we didn't pay Kevin Durant or Marcus Morris or Mario Chalmers. We're not going to pay Frank. So, you know, it was just tough to get a response from him. But, you know, it's like that with a lot of guys and you just have to be aggressive. And we ended up going out to Springfield, Massachusetts for Bill Self's Hall of Fame induction and knew he would be there. CJ saw him in the lobby early in the morning and Frank said, I'll go take a nap and I'll meet you around noon. So we sat in the lobby till noon. He didn't show. Then we had Norm Roberts call him, and Norm said, come down and do this interview. And Frank didn't want to. So we continued to stay there. And he finally came down and he said, I'll do it after I go eat lunch. And then he went and ate lunch and we waited another hour. And then he finally came back. I think he gave CJ a grand total of 16 minutes full of riveting quotes. But we got it, you know, and you kind of just waited out. So that. But that's fine. I mean, that happened with the last book as well. So
to be fair to him, it was his handler, not his agent. To be fair to his agent, it was the handler, not the agent. So, but
the handler that works for the agency. Yeah, but either way,
it was a mess. It was a mess.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of that coin, who was the most eager to give you an interview? I mean, who said, "I'll meet you right now"?
CJ, who do you have an easy time with? I mean, I think a lot of times the
most guys. Yeah. I mean, Tyrell Reed, I went to his house, you know, Christian Moody, he was driving circles around, on his way on his way to the Clemson hospital where he's working now. And he actually like missed his exit and like was driving around circles. I talked to him for at least an hour on the phone. I mean, so many of these guys were so, so generous with their time. That was really, I mean, really, that's the only one on my end that I had any trouble with. And, you know, Jason had trouble with a couple guys a little bit, but usually once we tracked the guys down and sat down with them or got them on the phone, I think they were incredibly generous with their time. And they were all really, really great.
Absolutely. It wasn't really someone that didn't want to do the interview. It was just a matter of getting a hold of them and getting in front of them. Once the interview started, it was great. No one was a jerk. No one was a pain in the butt. I mean, you know, Jeff Lippin, for instance, was a little bit difficult to get a hold of. Couldn't really get him to return a call. But it's kind of one of my favorite stories about the book. Literally, like on the last day when we said, this is our cutoff day to go to print, he called back. And I was like, yes, because like I just felt like there was so much in there about Jeff Withey and the great two seasons he had. I wanted him in there so bad. I was like, why isn't he calling us back? And he finally did. And he was just tremendous. And God, he couldn't have been any nicer. So, yeah, a lot of times it's just a matter of finding the guys. And once we did, it was easy. And as far as who was easy, I mean, you know, Sharon Collins was incredibly easy. And I think he's probably the best talker in the whole book, as you'll see as you read through it. Tyshawn Taylor is kind of right up there as well. Both of those conversations lasted about an hour and a half. Sharon at Six Mile Tavern in Lawrence, and Tyshawn at a condominium out there. So it was just both of those were a lot of fun.
So it was pretty cool. You also got opposing players and coaches to talk as well. Was there a particular coach on the other side that was pretty good? I think I saw you had Hoiberg and Rick Barnes and Frank Martin and Scott Drew, Huggins, some others. What was your favorite coach to interview?
You know, CJ did a lot of good coach interviews. My favorite was probably, Frank Martin was probably the best. Maybe Frank Haith actually was good talking about that. You know, one of my favorite parts of the book is the recap of the 2012 Missouri-Kansas game at Allen Fieldhouse. And for that game alone, besides pretty much any Kansas player you could think of, we also talked to, actually on that one, I talked to Michael Dixon, Kim English, Marcus Denman, and Frank Haith. And all four of those guys were great. And I've always liked Frank. I didn't think he got nearly enough credit for that great season they had. And he was real good. And Frank Martin, I talked to him while he was sitting on a beach in Miami. I mean, I wasn't with him, but I could hear the waves. And you know, he had a lot of really nice things to say about Mel Self and Kansas's program and Sharon Collins, and had some pretty good memories of those games.
That's awesome. Okay, so the Durant story, is there – I was at that game, you know, as a college student, still just in awe of that first half. I remember just about every play. It was nuts. One of the best games I've ever seen from a player on the opposing side. What did he have to say about this?
Yeah, I mean, that was another kind of fun story as far as getting a hold of him. I mean, I just thought, how great would it be if this book could include original content from a superstar like that? And that was kind of one of my goals early, was to get him. And I called Texas's sports information director, Scott McConnell, and he said, I'll try to help. So he gave me Durant's agent's number. And I had been texting back and forth with him, and I found out he was going to be at the Peach Jam. Which is an event I was going to go to as well, just to talk to some opposing coaches, like you mentioned earlier. And And the agent was like, oh, I don't know if I'll have time. We'll try to work it out. We'll see. So I went out there, and Durant was in the gym, and I texted the agent. I said, look, I'm sitting right across from you. I'm in jeans and a white collared shirt. And I kind of, and he looked at me, and I waved, and he said, okay, just let's try to get 5 minutes with him after this game. So did that. There was a horde of people around him. It was completely impossible to talk to him. So he said, just come back to the hotel. And I did, and we went up in his suite, and sat there. Literally, and the only people in the room for like 20 minutes were me and Kevin Durant and the agent, and he was great talking about that game. He had such good memories of it. This was also the morning after the ESPYs, when Peyton Manning, I think, had kind of dissed him or made a joke about him at the ESPYs and Russell Westbrook. So he had like literally flown cross-country to South Carolina, but wasn't tired, wasn't grumpy at all, loved talking about probably something different than the Warriors and the championship and everything, or the championship season. So we you know, he said his favorite moment of the game was like looking over at the sideline and seeing Bill Self looking really nervous. You know, he talked about injuring the ankle, and he said, you know, it sucks we lost. He goes, but just literally to be able to suck, I think his words were, to suck the life out of a building like that, even for a half, you know, something I'll never forget. And you know, I loved talking to Darnell Jackson for that part of the book. You know, Darnell said he got there 2 hours before the game. He was walking into the locker room, and he could hear a ball bounce down the court, and he went and looked out on the court, and he said the only person out there was literally was Durant. He was all by himself, already worked up into a full sweat, going through his pregame routine. And I think Darnell's quote was, man, he's about to go crazy on us, you know? And he did. So that was a game everyone had a lot of real vivid memories of.
I saw just a little excerpt from the book, and assistant coach Jankovic at the time, I can't remember the quote, but it was something like he started shooting it from every logo on the court and was making it. So
yeah, he was. And he said I think it was 12 minutes into the half. He had close to 20 points.
Yeah.
And he leaned over to Self and he goes, he's going to get 80 on us. He's going to get 80 on us. And then Dooley was like, yeah, that's Jankovic. He's always so positive. But yeah. So there's a lot. That's what makes those oral histories and recaps of those games so great. You know, some people think, man, I don't want to read about some game, the X's and O's and plays of a game that happened 10 years ago, but it's not bad. I mean, sure, there's a little bit of that in there, but it's more about what things were said in the huddle and things that people were feeling. And like I said, Darnell Jackson, seeing him out there before the game, and Bill Self turning to Danny Manning and saying, Danny, you got any ideas? And Danny's like, man, that's a bad mofo. You know, because I don't have any ideas, you know, and Brandon Rush coming to the bench saying, I can't guard him. He's too good. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that's compelling to me that's never been out there before.
Yeah, that's great. Andrew and I are big Joe Dooley guys. Is you going to get Joe Dooley action in there?
Joe Dooley. Yeah. No, he was great. He's in there. Talked to him about 45 minutes. He had a lot of good memories from that game too. I'm mad at myself though, because we were so focused on the Big 12. I should have asked Joe about the fight, the near fight with Nick Fizikas.
Oh man!
I feel like a failure for not bringing that up. But yeah, Joe's in there. Literally, and the only one we missed, and I'm kicking myself, is you know Cordelman right now, or Cordelbaum right now on their staff. I did not interview him. I don't know why. We skipped that one over, but other than him, every member of Bill Self's staff, I think that's coached under him since he's been at Kansas, is in that book, including Andrea Hootie. So a lot of good. Yeah, you know, you talk about people that are great interviews. I mean, my God, one takeaway from me was Norm Roberts needs to be a head coach again. He needs another shot. I mean, that guy is so impressive. I love talking to him and hearing so many stories he had. He and Jens Howard and Barry Hinton too are all at the top of the list when it comes to compelling information for that book.
You guys talked to a lot of people. What's a constant of why this streak has happened? I mean, beyond Bill Self. I mean, is there some kind of inner wisdom that each of these guys shared that maybe we don't know about as fans?
CJ, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah. I would say that this as cliche as it sounds, like it's just the culture. It's the guys who come in, hear it from the guys that have been there before. Like, you know, this is what's expected. This is what, and it's not about that much, but like that a lot of them told us every time that they go into the, I think it's the locker room or the film room, there's like the standings are on the wall and they see that, you know, every day and that's something that's just a constant reminder. And anytime they break the huddle, you know, they say Big 12 champs. I think little things like that just are constant reminders of how important it is. And then, you know, I think it is just kind of the toughness that is instilled by Bill Self. And I mean, I think these are cliche things, but there's constant examples throughout the book that you just get a sense of, you know, how much he challenges these guys and the kind of like mental mind games that he puts that a lot of them go through. I mean, a lot of the guys from Sharon Collins to Mario Chalmers to the Morris twins, they want to transfer. There's so many stories in here of guys wanting to transfer who, you know, end up being some of the greatest players in the history of the program.
Exactly. I would agree with that. I think too, that you hear on TV is, you know, the Big 12 goes through Allen Fieldhouse. I get tired of Fran Fraschilla saying all the time, but it is true. But I mean, the Big 12 though, for Kansas, first of all, they're going to start 8-1 or 9-0 every year. I mean, you know, that's going to happen, but the toughness he develops in those guys to win on the road, to me, is what separates them from other Big 12 schools. And, you know, those guys get excited to play on the road. I mean, I think sometimes he even said they'd rather play on the road. I mean, they get geeked up. I mean, they develop a new sense of togetherness and a tighter bond when they're away from home. And another quote that Jay Billis had toward the back of the book that I thought was good is, like, you know, there's so much talk about, you know, Wiggins and Embiid and, you know, Josh Jackson and all the, you know, obviously excellent players, but, you know, the Big 12 title streak for Kansas, to me, and well, he said this, but I agree, it's happened because of Kevin Young. It's happened because of Brady Morningstar and Tyrell Reed and, you know, these these 3- and 4-year glue guys that have come in. And you know, just when you think there's going to be slippage, oh, God, they're going to have to start Kevin Young. How are they going to – Jamari Taylor, how are they going to win? But, I mean, those guys do so many little things, maybe even helping them by not hurting them, you know, by the time they're juniors or seniors, that there's just never – that much slippage, and you think that they're going to, and they don't, they end up being really, really good players. And there's so many, you know, Tari Black, I mean, just guys that come in and play these key roles that perform at a level that they maybe wouldn't perform at it, you know, if they were starting there as a freshman or something.
Do you did you get a sense from Self or anyone else of the year that they weren't sure they were gonna get it? The one that they, man, I think this is it. I think the streak ends here.
I think that was the Buddy Hield year. Is that the one you're referring to? I mean, there's been a few times. I remember when they went down to Norman and beat Buddy Hield, the Devontae Graham, the Graham game, everyone likes to call it. I mean, I think that was the year where they had fallen behind. And, you know, that they kind of look at that game as a pivotal win and continuing their streak. And that was kind of Devontae's coming out party, both defensively on Hield, and I think offensively he had between 25 and 28 points. So that was one where it could have fallen by the wayside, but they came back and got it. CJ, were there other moments when they really felt like it was in jeopardy?
You know, a lot of them say they always had, like, they'll always have this meeting or whatever. Like, you know, you think back to the 2008 season when they had the team meeting, and you know, some of the guys said there's like always that moment where like we meet and there's some kind of doubt, but like there seems to be this faith that they'll always just come through. I would say the one year where there was the most like inner team, like it not coming together like they hoped it would come together, and there being more struggles maybe behind the scenes, would probably be the 2015 year, which is arguably probably the worst team out of all of them. Just, you know, which is crazy because that group came together and formed, you know, the 2016 team Self talks about really, really highly and puts up there as one of his best teams. And it's pretty much that core was the 2015 group, but you know, they just quite hadn't come together yet. And have Kelly Oubre and Cliff Alexander, and you know, the Cliff stuff behind the scenes, I think, kind of, you know, threw them a little bit. And you know, him right when he was maybe kind of starting to get it, happened to pull him out, and all that stuff that went on, and getting killed by Kentucky early in the year, and Wayne Selden struggling. There was just a list of things that was probably one of the most difficult years for them, I felt like.
You know, when you say 2015 too, it reminds me of a quote. I just started thinking back to that chapter, that particular chapter, and the good things in there. And one of them, I thought, was the oral history of the Wichita State game. You know, we had Greg Marshall and Fred VanVleet quoted heavily, but CJ asked Greg Marshall, this is why I love Greg Marshall. I don't care what anyone says, I love that guy. You know, what do you think about Kansas's streak? And he goes, I see that streak and I think, man, someone on the Big 12 got a man up. He's like, what's wrong with the league? Like, you're letting one team win 13 years in a row. You know, that's ridiculous, you know? And the thing is, though, I'm not trying to downplay the streak at all. To me, I agree with Bills. It's one of the most phenomenal achievements in the history of sports at any level. But the Big 12, in my opinion, hasn't been quite as great in the recent years. And everyone wants to look at the RPI, and that's great. I don't care about that. I mean, I'm talking about, like, elite-level, high-caliber teams in the league. I just don't think there's been many, and I think you've seen that play out in the tournament. I think, you know, some of the earlier years, you know, when you had the Durant and the Beasley and the P.J.
2006
Tucker,
Texas.
Yeah, the first year, Texas, I mean, team. That was one of the most impressive years of the streak. I mean, you know, when you're playing Aldridge and P.J. Tucker and they got hammered pretty good down in Austin, and, you know, Chalmers Rush, Julian Wright, all freshmen, they came back and ended up winning the league. That was huge. Another year where it got close was the next year. I mean, I guess if they would have lost that Texas game, they still would have clinched it, if I'm not mistaken, with Durant.
Yeah, they would have tied.
They had already clinched a share, right, going into that game. And then the other one was, and CJ and I agree too, like, we ranked the best Big 12 opponents they had played during the streak. Like, who were the 10 best Big 12 teams Kansas faced during this 13-year streak? And number one was the Texas team in 06 we just mentioned, but number two was Missouri in 2012, and everyone's like, oh, they lost to Norfolk State. I don't care. They were good. That was a year when, you know, that particular win, you know, if things go the other way, maybe, you know, the outcome's different. In far as the standings go.
Yeah, and going back to that other question, now that I think about it, and it's you go through all these chapters, and we wrote them all, and it's almost you forget about 2006 because we wrote it so long ago. But that's probably the year. I believe they started out, that, you know, they lost to Missouri and K-State really early. And we already talked about how good Texas was that year with P.J. Tucker and LaMarcus Aldridge and Booby Gibson. And I mean, that was a really, really good team. And to start the way they started and then to come back and win that year when they've, you know, Mario Chalmers was really, really struggling early in that year. I mean, Stephen Vincent, he got benched for Stephen Vincent in the Cal game that year. You know, Julian Wright struggled early on just kind of because he was having to play out of position. He was more of a wing and, you know, get kind of being forced into power forward and just a lot of stuff that was going on that year. And to win it against arguably the best team, opposing team they've ever played during the streak, that's a pretty remarkable way to and that was in year two, I believe, the streak. Yeah, so that one's probably the most improbable one of all, I'd say.
So how long does the streak go?
And
put a stake like in the ground. Let's hear it.
Someone else, man. I'm kind of like Greg Marshall. When someone got a man up, I mean, I like their chances this year.
I'll say four more years. I'll just four or five more four years, something like that.
Over under 3.5.
$1 price is right. No, I'll say three more, but I don't know. I mean, I no one in the Big 12 really impresses me that much this year, although I think the league this year is better than I thought it was going to be. I mean, there's Texas is better than I thought. CJ, I think you'd probably agree with me. You know, either one of us thought they were going to be that good. They look decent, and Texas Tech is a solid team. I think Baylor is much better than I thought. I think they're a top three or four team in the league, and obviously West Virginia. So there's some teams that could get them, but I mean, I just don't know if those teams can, you know, even if they were to upset Kansas. I mean, they're somewhat so liable to be upset by someone else. I don't know why I forgot to mention TCU. So I think this could be an interesting year, especially if someone got hurt, you know, especially Udoka, then, you know, I think people will be kind of scared, but I would still pick them to win the league this year without question.
One last one for you. So a lot of people think that it's Bill Self that is the main reason for the streak. Some people think that Allen Fieldhouse is the biggest reason for the streak. I mean, you can look down and say you're going to go undefeated or close to it every year. You're kind of tough to win the league if you start off with that in the win column. What do you think the biggest reason is for the streak?
I'll say it's still Bill Self. And let's not kid ourselves. Allen Fieldhouse is huge. But, I mean, to be able to maintain that level of excellence in a team in today's day and age when so many guys are transferring at a record number, guys are leaving early for the draft. Not only that, players are coming into college with much more of a sense of entitlement. I think they're harder to coach, especially the elite level players, and especially the way Self coaches. I mean, he's hard, a hard ass coach. I mean, like a lot of guys, you know, initially struggle with that, but they finally buy in. And once they do, you know, it all pays off. But I mean, for him to maintain this level of consistency, I mean, when you look around the country, no one's done this. I mean, during this streak, I mean, you've seen schools like North Carolina and Florida and UCLA and Indiana miss the tournament altogether. I mean, not forget about winning the league title. Like they're not even in the tournament. I mean, everyone, you know, Texas too. I mean, everyone goes through that year or two of rebuilding and transition, but not Kansas. And I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I mean, they're, you know, getting a one or a two seed in the NCAA tournament literally almost every year. I think there's only been like one or two years where they didn't get a one or a two. I mean, that's crazy. So I think it's mostly Bill Self, but having that Allen Fieldhouse factor is huge as well.
I'll add something to it. I mean, those two are obviously huge factors, but another thing Self told us, and I can't directly quote him because it was like after an interview, and it's one of the things he's ever said all time. And I'm sure Jason knows what I'm talking about, but I'll paraphrase. He basically said that when guys come to KU, they just have way more confidence than they probably should. Like the place just makes them feel like they're superstars and, you know, it empowers them to play at just to reach another level. And, you know, think about like Connor Tehan he's a sixth man on a team that reaches the national championship. You know, Kevin Young was on one of the worst teams in college basketball and transfers to Kansas and ends up a starter on a team that, you know, was maybe going to go to a Final Four if Elijah Johnson doesn't kind of lose his head near the end of that game in 2000.
Don't say bad things about Elijah.
Yeah, we do love Elijah, but I mean, there's that's another great part of the book, I think, is talking about the Michigan game and kind of hearing his teammates, you know, what they had to say with what they thought was going on with him. I mean, that stuff that I think there's a lot of things in this book that there's so many been talked about, and that KU fans always, you know, if you have a question of, I wonder why this happened, or I wonder why this happened, or what was going on behind the scenes when this happened, most of the answers are going to be in this book. And that's why I think any Kansas fan would want it. But to get back to my point, just like, those type of guys, and Jason talked about it already, those type of guys have been so huge to this streak. And not just those guys, but even the superstars. I mean, I think being a Jayhawk, just something about the place, makes these guys feel like they can achieve just unbelievable things. And, you know, winning the Big 12 every single year is part of it.
The book is Beyond the Streak, Untold Stories from Kansas Basketball's Unrivaled Big 12 Reign. Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you very much, CJ, for coming on. Go get this book. Where can they get it?
Yeah, I think an easy way, especially if you don't live in the Kansas City area or Topeka or Wichita, you know, if you're maybe going to order this for an out-of-town relative or if you live out of town, just go to kubook.net and I get it there, kubook.net. And I know a lot of people have Amazon accounts and discounts on shipping and stuff. It is available on Amazon as well. And but then if you want to go buy it yourself, you don't want to wait for the mail. I mean, it's pretty much at every Barnes and Noble right now in Kansas City. It's at every Rally House store throughout the state, even on the Missouri side. So that they've been great as far as carrying the book. So it's there. It's now in Costco in both of the Overland Park, Lenexa locations. It'll be in Wichita by early next week at Costco. It's even in Independence at Costco. There's some other like just smaller stores. Well, Jock's Niche and Lawrence, Diebel's in Kansas City, Cooper Drug and Augusta, Anderson Book and Supply and Newton. I mean, it's floating around out there without question. But the easiest way, again, if you don't live in those areas, is kubook.net.
Perfect. Well, thanks, fellas, for coming on. Go get this book. Sounds awesome. I know I will be getting this book. Andrew will be getting this book. This sounds like one we absolutely have to read as a KU fan. So really appreciate you guys coming on. We will watch your stuff. Find them at CJ Moore Hoops and at Jason King BR on Twitter. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks again.
Thanks
for having us, guys.
All right, we are back. Thanks again to Jason King and CJ Moore for coming on the podcast. Like those guys' work. Obviously, big KU guys, been around the programs for a long time. And pretty cool. I'm excited about this book, Andrew.
I am too. I have not got a chance to read it. I thumbed through it when I was at the store. I don't know why I didn't buy it at the moment, but looks like some good stuff. And it's a big book. It's not like this one, you know, those some of those guys put out books that have like, you know, 150 pages full of nothing. This is a tome. This is a large book. Has a lot of information. It'll take you a while to get through because it's got just a lot of KU stuff. Just everything you want to know. You don't want to read a book about Dwight D. Eisenhower's childhood. You want to read a book about why Sharon Collins threw a pizza off the balcony of a Missouri Holiday Inn.
That I do want to read that.
That's what you want to read about.
You nailed me exactly.
This is Christmas time, not for hard-hitting questions or like improving yourself mentally. This is about learning those types of things.
Could not agree more. All right, Andrew, let's close this thing out. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up for the Jayhawks this week. We got a game Wednesday in the good old Sprint Center against the Washington Huskies. Andrew, the Huskies were going to have a Michael Porter Jr. on their team, but now they don't. But
neither does Missouri.
Neither does Missouri. But we're not going to say anything negative about that because we don't want to talk about
it. It's just terrible.
Just terrible. I mean, think of the kids. I mean, think of the poor guy. Just the family, and the whole thing.
Breaks your heart.
Around Christmas time, too, like around the holidays. What are you going
to do? Terrible. But anyway, they do have Mike Hopkins as their new coach instead of Lorenzo Romar. Mike Hopkins, you'll remember, is a longtime Syracuse assistant. So I don't know much about their defense, but I'm assuming they run a 2-3 zone. Assuming their Ken Pom says they're mostly zone, or some zone. So I would expect that. You know, maybe this was a warm up for the Syracuse game was a warm up for the Washington game, but that'll be on Wednesday in the Sprint Center, our one Sprint Center game in the regular season of the year.
I don't think they're very good.
They're not good. They're not good. They're worse than Toledo. Ooh. Just say that.
Okay. Yeah. Although Sprint Center, never know.
Never know. We also go and play Arizona State in Elm Fieldhouse. This is on Sunday, next Sunday. So let's do the podcast after the game on Sunday.
Immediately following the game.
Right. So don't expect mid-afternoon Sunday podcast. Expect probably a later evening podcast when it hits your feed. But we'll be fresh off the presses from that Arizona State game. So Arizona State's good.
Yeah. They're undefeated, won 7 in a row. I was just looking at their slate of games so far, Andrew. Their first game was an exhibition against Northern State. They needed 2 overtimes to win against Northern State. You had to think after that game that they were going to start, some folks in the area there were going to start wondering, are we very good? Because it took us 2 overtimes to beat Northern State. And we looked it up. Northern State is in South Dakota. Is that right?
Yeah, so it could have been in any state because every state has a north. But this north.
Even
has,
South Dakota.
Yeah, even South Dakota.
So there you go. But then, Andrew, they've gone on to win every game since, including 90-68 against San Diego State, 99-78 against UC Irvine. They squeaked by K-State, 92-90, and then they absolutely destroyed Xavier, 102-86, and they were down 15.5 in that game. So yeah, that's a pretty good win. Xavier's good, so... Man, this team might actually be kind of fun to watch inside Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, so I think according to the AP, they're ranked 20th. According to Gary Parrish on his top 25 and one, they're 16th and probably will move up with some folks losing. So this will be a matchup.
Look at there.
Ray Holder is their good guy. averaging 22 points a minute, or 20 points a game, and 6 rebounds. So this is a this will be a matchup here in Allen Fieldhouse. It probably something we didn't keep an eye out earlier in the year, but has turned into a good matchup. So after that game, we will do a podcast.
And Andrew, you gotta watch out when you're playing against a Bobby Hurley team.
Oh,
I forgot Bobby he's Hurley. The coach. I totally forgot that.
Street stops here. Street stops here.
All right. So let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Anything else?
That's all.
What, are you sure that's it? That's all you
there
want to
be,
about?
There may be one other thing.
That's all you want. Wait, so is that it? Are we closing it out or is there another thing?
I've got one.
Hey, Beal.
Hey, Beal. What's it like to take your talents to South Beach? That's all I got.
You are really phoning it in on Hey Beal. I mean, yeah. I spent at least right, 6 minutes on Hey Beals.
Okay, I'll come up with some other ones. Go ahead.
I spent 6 minutes writing these out. So that's all it took. I did 3 of them, and it took.
Hey Beal. Now that you've been down there in Miami, do you have the recipe for the perfect Cubano sandwich? I've been looking for a while because my wife does not make a Cubano sandwich the way I'm used to it.
Hey, Beal, I was watching that Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity. You know, the one where he clones himself a bunch of times and hilarity ensues. 2-part question here, Beal. First, you think that's real? And second, you think we can get another doke or two so we can avoid foul troubles?
How about 5 dokes?
5 dokes.
We have the mean doke, we have the doke who likes pizza, we have the silly doke, and we have the regular doke. That is a championship team.
Hey, Beal, I had a dream that the Earth is actually a big round basketball that God and his friends use in an interstellar pickup game or what have you. Another 2-parter here. First, you ever thought of something like that? And second, assuming you have, you think God's got a good crossover?
Ooh, we should develop some sort of mythology, you know, kind of like a not necessarily Native American, but like a Native American themed or a, you know, indigenous themed or just anything, like ancient Greek themed mythology about the world's just or the Earth is a giant basketball played. That's being like constantly that. Played in a basketball court.
I like that.
Whatever. We'll come up with it. That's the basketball gods.
All right. I have one more.
Got it. Go ahead. Come on. Okay. Hey, Beal.
Hey, Beal. I heard you put on one of them fancy fantasy camps for old farts like me and come act like we're players and you coach us up and all. I might be interested, but my KU basketball fantasy is a little different than that. You think there's any chance they'd let me play with all the buttons on the video board and arm wrestle Hootie?
I would rather do that.
There you go. That was Hey Beal.
Okay. All right. So we've got a big week coming up. Let's see if Devontae can keep his average of 35 points a game up. I think he can.
All right. There you go.
Otherwise, we've got games against Washington in the Sprint Center and against the ranked Bobby Hurley Juniors.
Sun Devils coming to town. Yeah, it's going to be a good week, Andrew. Looking forward to that. We will be bringing the podcast just a little bit later next week, which is all good. That way we have 2 games to talk about. Thank you again to CJ Moore and to Jason King for coming on the podcast. They gave some great anecdotes, good discussion on the streak. Go get that book. Follow them on Twitter at CJ Moore Hoops and at Jason King BR. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops, and you can find me at Jayhawk Talk. Send us those Hey Beals. Send us your comments about the streak. And we look forward to talking with you next week on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Until then, rock chalk. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real.
Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the final four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.